Well, hello and welcome to After the Sermon, a Bethany podcast where we have the privilege of digging deeper into our Sunday messages. I am Tammy DeLau, and today I am joined with Pastor David Baxley. And welcome back, Pastor Steve Musto.
Thank you.
We are so glad that you're here.
Good to be back.
I don't know how many people listen to us as opposed to watching us, but for those watching us, I think people do notice the shoes that you have because you are the shoe guy.
Yep.
Can you just share with me what's
so bright.
what's going on with these shoes? I mean, they feel like Bethany colors.
They are Bethany colors.
Okay.
During VBS last year, Heather and Lisa got their own shoes that were like Bethany Children's Ministry colors.
Okay.
And I have told a number of people.
Okay.
I want some of those. Those are awesome.
Okay.
And these were gifted to me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I got a chance, and I don't even know by who, but I got a chance to sport some some Bethany sneaks.
Okay.
And the thing is, I what I'm really hoping for is that I get on Preachers and Sneakers.
Is that a thing?
That's a thing. It's like it's a Twitter or Instagram or something.
Is it a good thing to be?
I don't know.
Okay.
No, it's not a good thing. Not usually.
Josh is shaking his head.
It's not usually
a good
thing.
Don't anyone put our pastor on.
No, please don't do that. That's no.
I think it's meant to call out people for wearing pastors for wearing expensive clothing.
Yes, it is.
Well, these were a gift.
Right. These were a gift. Most of the time it would be like, if I got on something like that, it would be like, did you see what he was wearing?
Okay.
Those were Costco $12.99.
Have a higher standard, Pastor. Come on.
Costco, Sam's Club. That's where a lot of my wardrobe comes from.
Yep.
So. Oh, all right. Well, I was giving you indirectly a hard time last week because David had a bunch of verses and you this week have one verse.
This is it.
But it's a good verse. And I have a ton of questions. So I'm going to go ahead and read it.
Yeah.
We are in James chapter 5, verse 12. Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes mean yes and your no mean no, so that you won't fall under judgment. Okay. Yeah. And I think we could spend 35 minutes talking about this one verse.
Well, we'll find out. I mean, I'm going to have to do it on Sunday.
I believe in you. I think you can do it. Well, the first thing I notice is we are not talking about don't let curse words come out of your mouth.
Correct.
So I think
that would be
important.
Unwholesome talk.
Right.
Yeah. And, but we call that swearing in our day and age. So that would not be what they're thinking of.
Okay.
Right.
All right. Well, I'm going to let you start and I've got questions for you, but I want to see where you take us. Yeah. Or would you prefer a question?
Yeah, no, this is all part of James obviously is bringing to a close his thoughts, but it is tied to what David talked about last week.
Okay.
And the tie together as I see it is you've got folks who are, if you go back to what David taught about, remember, these are people who are undergoing not quite persecution yet, but they're...
But abuse. You know,
yeah, abuse or being treated poorly. Mm-hmm. People are saying things about them, whatever. And they need to endure. And so that is a part of that. Mm-hmm. And in the midst of that, there seems to be this... they're not being believed or they are trying to... defend themselves.
Yeah.
I swear that didn't happen, or I swear it happened differently than that. And people are not believing them. And so they're trying to defend themselves. So that day and age, the way you promised things, cause there's no way of recording you on camera saying something or your audio or whatever. Mm-hmm. They did have contracts. One of the things that we've discovered, in archaeology is written contracts, people, you know, so-and-so owes so-and-so 12 fish, you know, or whatever it is. They would write this down so that they had that.
But what was that written on?
Usually be on leather or papyrus or sometimes it would be inscribed onto a piece of stone or something else.
Okay.
Just depended on what you had. But so they had that, but most of the time it was more like your word. Mm-hmm. So you'd say, will you take my, if you're going to the eastern pasture, will you take my sheep, David, and return them safely in 2 weeks? Mm-hmm. And David would say, yes, I swear I will do that. Mm-hmm. And so he would take the sheep and he would go for a couple of weeks and then he would come back. And if all of my sheep were not there, I would say, hey, what's going on? And he would either have to make that right, or he would say, oh, I never promised you that I would do that. I mean, I never said that the sheep would be fine, or I never, mm-hmm. that's where the disagreement, the mm-hmm. kind of disagreements would come. Mm-hmm. And so, that's the idea that what's behind it. So you'd promise.
Okay.
I swear by Zeus.
Okay.
That I will return in a fortnight. I swear by Apollos and all of his, you know.
You didn't return in a fortnight.
Right. No, it's only 1 week.
All right. So what is the difference then between a vow and an oath?
Yeah. So a vow is something that generally is witnessed. And it happens beforehand. So when we all took wedding vows. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That happens before you do the thing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. An oath can happen before, but often it happens afterwards. So when someone puts their hand on a Bible in court, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. Mm-hmm. That is an oath that they are taking, and they're testifying about something that has already happened.
Okay.
So, both and in this, they can be used a little bit interchangeably, but yeah, we're talking about something that is something has happened. Mm-hmm. Someone maybe is disagreeing with the series of events mm-hmm. and somebody needs to prove that, no, this is exactly I did what I said I was going to do. I swear on a stack of Bibles. I swear on my grandmother's grave. I swear on my children. I swear on, there's all kinds of ridiculous things that we say to make people believe us.
Okay, so I was under the impression, and from listening to you, I could be wrong, or maybe this is just adding to it, that a vow was something I made before the Lord. That I vowed something to the Lord, and an oath, so that would be the vertical relationship, and an oath is something that I'm doing horizontally. Mm. You would disagree with that, I think.
Well, it's not that I disagree. So okay. I think the distinction is covenant.
Okay.
A covenant is always three-sided.
Okay.
So I can make an agreement and say, you know, I'm going to sell you my car. Mm-hmm. That's an agreement. Mm-hmm. A covenant is when we bring God into the mix.
Okay.
And God is that the witness that acts between us. So as a believer, I believe that God is involved in all of this. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the point James is making is we can't take vows independent of our faith or oaths independent of our faith. We can't say, well, that's just business. The way I act in business is one
thing,
but that doesn't have anything to do with who I am as a believer. Okay. James says that doesn't work.
Okay. So I think I know a question that's burning in our listeners right now. So we are told by James not to take an oath. We're going to go back and look at Matthew, or you are going to in your sermon, and Jesus is saying the same thing. So I am sequestered for jury duty, or I am brought into a court of law, and the bailiff, is that what he's called? Brings the Bible up to me.
Yeah.
I've never been on jury duty, so I don't know how all this stuff works, but I've been in a court of law, but brings and says, place your right hand on this Bible. Am I disobeying God's word if I do that? I told you I have questions, guys.
This is good.
All right. So I'm looking at you first, my friend.
I mean, so disobey God's word. I mean, that's looking for a very strong rule. I wrestle with that myself.
Okay.
Because of I think what James wants us to see is to take very seriously our words that are spoken. Mm-hmm. And I had to go testify. Mm-hmm. I was telling you about this yesterday. Mm-hmm. I actually testified ironically at a murder trial many, many, many years ago. And
things we don't know about.
Yeah, I know, right? I was processing going into this, like what I have to do. I ended up not having to. I raised my right hand, but I didn't have to put anything on the Bible.
Okay.
And I just, do you swear to tell truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth? So help you God was what they said in that moment. Mm-hmm. And I was processing that going, I was comfortable in that moment saying that because it was in line with an expectation of establishing my integrity. There was a traditional element of this that I was comfortable doing because it wasn't me initiating this, like trying to prove myself. Mm-hmm. It was a part of something, was a part of a tradition or even a law within the structure that, was culture. Not me saying, listen, I'm going to prove what I'm saying is right. Cause I think that's what James is going for more. He's going after this, whatever I need to do to establish because I'm not being believed. It's almost a way of coming in to saying, let me become my own witness to validate myself to the eyes of this controversy or this tension that's in front of me. And I don't think that's the same thing we're experiencing when we go and put our hand on the Bible. But what are your thoughts on that?
The Old Testament does not outlaw the giving of oaths. In fact, in some cases, God asked for that. And if you remember Abraham, he wants to find a wife for Isaac. Mm-hmm. And so he calls his servant over and he says, swear to me that you won't find a wife from any of these people.
Yeah.
Send them back to my people to find. Yeah. He says, okay, I promise. He says, no, it's not good enough.
Put your hand
under my leg.
Which is so weird.
So awkward.
And I did not have to do that at the trial. I'm really clear about that.
So, so what is that? Well, there's intimacy to that, right?
Yes.
Like if you do that and somebody has no context and walks into the room, it's like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. Well, there's an intimacy to that. I promise this. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A servant wouldn't touch his master normally. Mm-hmm. And so the servant is doing this. This is a big deal and touching not just the master, but
is there something about the location too? Because it has to do with genealogy and children and all. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So all of this to say, there is, what James is concerned with is not oaths or vows.
Yeah.
He is concerned, as Jesus is concerned, of not taking rash oaths and remembering our place, that God is involved in all of this. And so when we promise to do something and we don't do that thing, we bear the mark of Christ. Those of us who are believers bear Jesus' mark. And so we have essentially brought Christ into our deception, our untruth, our whatever. So this is very similar to the end of chapter 4, where James says, hey, look, you merchants, you're going overseas and you're like, we're just going to make a bunch of money. You don't know. Mm-hmm. You're not that good. You're not God. Only God can say this is going to happen. Mm-hmm. So when you take these vows or these oaths, you're saying, well, this is going to happen. I'm going to do this thing. You don't know. Mm-hmm. Why are you bringing God into that? Mm-hmm. So here's an example would be this. Years ago when I was in, I was a pastor of like singles ministry and there was a lot of people were dating a lot. And, one of the things I would say is there were a couple of people in our group who were kind of chronic daters. Okay. They dated, everybody, anybody new who came in, they dated them. And,
I think they call that now players.
Players. Okay. There you go. So when they, would break up, they would say something along the lines of, well, I think the Lord really wants us, not to be together. Mm-hmm. I think the Lord wants me to be single. And I finally had to pull a couple of them aside and say, hey guys, time out.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Don't bring God into this. Like, I don't think you're going into this prayerfully asking these people out. Don't get out on the other end
by
claiming it's the Lord.
That's good.
You got yourself into this. So have the temerity and the courage to say, hey, I entered into this without asking, about the Lord and I will take the heat for stepping away from it.
Okay.
So don't bring God into all this. And I've said the same thing to couples who have gotten married and, they've said, well, God didn't want us to get married. We should get divorced now. And I've said, do not bring God into your sin. Do not invite the Lord into this mess that you have made so that you have an excuse to get out of this, that you are compounding your sin.
That's really
Don't
good.
Do that.
That's really good. Okay, so you've got a bunch of us here reading through the Bible this year.
Yep.
We are in 1 Samuel now, but we were in Judges. And so we see Japheth, and he promises, makes an oath, a vow, I'm not sure what word to use, that if they win, whatever comes out of his front door, he will sacrifice. It is his only child, his precious daughter. Girl.
Yeah.
I know some people think he really did kill her. Some think she lived a virgin, but either way, his lineage was done.
Right.
Speak to that, guys. Could he have gotten out of that oath?
It's a rash vow.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That story of Jephthah is there on purpose. Yeah. It's meant to show us as part of Judges that what's going on in the nation of Israel is a mess, an absolute mess. These are not heroes of the faith in Judges. No. It's a mess.
Mm-hmm. Because everyone is doing what is right in his own eyes.
Right. Jephthah makes this vow that he should not make. Yeah. And it is, we're going to see the same kind of vow, the same foolishness in 1 Samuel with Saul.
Mm-hmm.
Because Saul is going to say, anyone who has a bite of food I have vanquished my enemies will certainly die.
Yeah. And hello, Jonathan.
And Jonathan. And Jonathan calls out his dad and goes, well, that was dumb. Mm-hmm. It was a dumb vow. You shouldn't have made that vow.
Yeah.
He's right. He shouldn't have.
Yeah.
It was a foolish thing to do. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what James is warning about, making foolish statements like that before the Lord.
Okay.
Well, and even when Jonathan's talking to his dad, he's like, you're hurting people. Mm-hmm. You're using your power. You're using your voice to hurt others. And now your integrity is in question. Mm-hmm. Like there's an element of his character that no one else could say this to Saul except for Jonathan in this moment. But like your rashness is selfish.
Yeah.
What this is all about you. And I think that's partially because if you know, you talk about the context we're coming out of this. This is a very self-focused of more worried about me, how people see me, what me being vindicated and somehow proving or having the power to maybe protect my reputation with what may be being said against me or whatever it is, instead of leaving that part in God's hands to deal with. And this is a continual of that theme of entrusting, whereas maybe our suffering to God, we're entrusting our integrity to God. Mm-hmm. It's ironic that I actually think entrusting our integrity to God feels harder sometimes than entrusting our suffering to God, because we really care about our reputation.
Sure.
Like even good suffering can make me look good, but we care about that.
I mean, we may not be a shame on our culture, but we want to be honored. We want to be, you know, so.
Well, we want our point, and we want our point across. We want to make sure that our story is told. We value this so highly in our culture.
Yeah.
So even to the point where I have heard now way too many confessions from pastors and other religious leaders who have fallen in some way or have been accused of things. Mm-hmm. And what is one of the things that they say?
Yeah.
They will say, well, I don't agree with everything that's been said about me, but there's enough truth in here that I need to step away from. Why would you say that?
Yeah.
Why would you say that? Mm. To make sure that you know.
Yeah. I'm not as bad as
I'm not as bad as you think. All the stories you have, they're still defending themselves.
Yeah.
Whereas.
And so you're saying that's not true repentance then at some level?
I don't know if it's true repentance. I just think it shows me spin.
Yes.
Whereas what is our example? Our ultimate example is Jesus.
Yeah.
He doesn't step in when he's being falsely accused. So you are a king then by Pilate, you know, think of all the things that Pilate says to him. You do this, you do that. Are you this? Are you that? Why aren't you answering me? Why aren't you? Jesus can answer all of those things easily. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't. When he's falsely accused by the Pharisees and the Sadducees, does he defend himself? No.
Or his words are manipulated to mean something he never
this
said.
This man said that he, and false witnesses arise.
Yes.
And Jesus just stands there and says nothing. He doesn't say, well, you know, technically that's not what I said, but I'm going to be silent. That's a little passive aggressive, isn't it? He doesn't.
Okay.
Because he has yielded that to the Lord. Yeah. And in a similar way, we need to yield. Mm-hmm. There are times when we absolutely need to defend ourselves.
Yeah.
I mean, 100%. Mm-hmm. Because defending, going on the defensive, mm-hmm. does protect the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. Like if I were falsely accused of something as a pastor, mm-hmm. yeah, absolutely. Pull the security footage, do whatever you need to do to make this, for the truth mm-hmm. to be known. Because that's about exposing the truth. It should mm-hmm. be that way. Mm-hmm. However, what we need to be the kind of people that, see if this sounds familiar, if we recognize this from the Bible anywhere else, but we need to be the kind of people who, when something negative is said about us, or something, you know, that person broke their oath, people around would like snicker and go, are you kidding me? That's not, no way.
That's not David.
There's no way David did that. Mm-hmm. Sorry. I just don't believe you. Mm-hmm. Not even a hint. So this is one of the qualifications of elders. Mm-hmm. Not even a hint that their reputation is so solid that somebody would say, well, I want to make a charge against them. People go, well, are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. It's almost ludicrous. Mm-hmm. Because that's how well respected you are. So let your yes be yes, let your no be no. Mm-hmm. So much so in your life that when people take it as gospel truth, mm-hmm. That when you say something, it's true.
And yeah, that's good. I'm excited for Sunday because I know you are going to take us into Matthew and see where James is repeating what his big brother Jesus said in so many ways, which I love that. And so I was challenged as I was studying this week, do I look like Jesus in this area? Mm-hmm. And the truth is, if every time you said something, if I was supposed to believe you and I knew, oh, if he swears on Kathy, then I know he's telling the truth. Yeah. But if he swears on, his dog, it's not as true as that would affect our friendship. There wouldn't be true trust. So this swearing on something doesn't even make us more trustworthy. It's twisted that we would even fall into that trap.
Jesus criticized the religious leaders for this. Mm-hmm. If you remember, he was talking to them. One of the things he railed against, he's like, wait a second, you've made up rules. You're like, we swear by the temple. Well, then you don't, that technically doesn't count. But if you swear by the gold that's in the temple, well, that's God's going to hold you to that. Mm-hmm. Like, where does that rule come from? He's made this up. Right. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Just say yes or no and move on.
Do you remember being a kid and if you crossed your fingers behind your back, it didn't count? It feels that silly.
Wait, that stopped when we were a kid?
Wait,
you can't do that anymore, David. I'm sorry. Oh man. But when you look at it that way, it does seem that childish that we would fall into that trap. So. Right.
You know, one of the things though, I think that we have to hold, and it's not just with our speech, there's elements of this, but I think this is I can only control who I am and what I do, but I can never control how people see me or what they respond, mm-hmm. how they respond to me. And that feels so powerless. It feels so, so weak. And so I think a lot of us are constantly trying to manage that. We're constantly, how do I manage how people see me? How do I manage how people will respond to me? Yeah. And there's almost this like desperation of reacting to everything to manage that tension in our lives. And I almost think James is reminding us even in this, you can't manage that except for by just being a person of integrity, like you said. And if you're accused of a lie here and you know you were honest, it will come. Like, your character will be seen over the next, even if not in that moment. I believe that's where God even comes back and restores those things in a way that says, but I've seen how this person has lived the last 6 months or year. I'm questioning that story now.
Yeah.
I'm questioning that thing. And it takes time, and we have to rest in God to do that. But when we try to take it back ourselves, it's going to hurt our integrity more. Mm-hmm. Every time I say, no, I swear I did it. No, I swear I did it. Mm-hmm. I think that actually ends up robbing us of the very thing we're trying to accomplish in relationship with others, and even more in our relationship with God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's also something to be said here for when we have said we're going to do something and we don't, mm-hmm. to own it, mm-hmm. own that. Mm-hmm. Hey, look, instead of weaseling out of it or saying, yeah. Well, you know, technically what I said was this and yeah. We all become lawyers all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. Instead of that, mm-hmm. why don't we just say, hey, I messed up and I'm really sorry. Right. My intention was to do this. Yeah. Something happened and I couldn't make that happen. Yeah. And I apologize mm-hmm. that I couldn't come through for you because that builds more relationship.
That's right.
Than,
and that's being a man or a woman of integrity.
Then claiming I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and breaking your promise and just being, oh, it's the guy who breaks his promise. Yeah. We know this. So being in ministry for any length of time, there are people who are like, yeah, right. You learn these folks. Mm. And I never want to be one of these folks, but whether they sign up for something or they say, I'm really going to do this. And you kind of have this, you go, yeah, right.
Yeah.
You're not going to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
So we take, you know, call it taking it with a grain of salt or whatever it is. There are other people who say, hey, I'm going to do this thing. And you go, whoa, mm-hmm. I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
They said they were going to do it.
There's the difference. Mm-hmm. So be the person who, when that person said, when you say, I'm going to do this thing, do it.
And it's a win for us if we really are people that want to be seen and respected, but it's a win for our God when,
Steve, you mentioned that element of, which I think is really important, own when you don't do it, own that mistake, own you violated it, but owning it doesn't remove the consequence of that.
No.
And I think that's something we all have to just, we have to accept in this because I think sometimes we're trying to avoid the consequences of these things that we wish we hadn't done or things we wish we hadn't said. And so to recognize I screwed up in this, I'm admitting it. I'm going to own that with the hope of over time restoring integrity with this person or restoring integrity, this relationship. But to just say, hey, because I've owned it, we should be instantly restored, is an unrealistic relational expectation. It's just, trust gets broken. It can be repaired, but it
takes time to
build. Yeah. And I think that's where, again, it's another thing we're trying to manage.
Yeah.
We're trying to manage that as if this thing never happened, you know, let's fix that. Instead of, I think part of the integrity is recognizing I did it and I will accept now that you're not sure if you can trust me. So instead of me still trying to be like, trust me, trust me, trust me, I'm going to slow down and restore that by earning it back.
Right.
And that's a time thing. And that's none of us like waiting in that time.
No, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Is there anything else from this sermon that you are not going to be able to touch on Sunday?
Well, fortunately, it's so short. The passage is so short. I'm going to be able to hit most of it. I want to be very clear. And one of the things we will talk about on Sunday is we have this world that we live in, the physical world, and we believe we make so many decisions based on what's going on in the physical world. Mm. That's why we have these kinds of oaths and vows and why we defend ourselves, and because it's about our reputation here. It's about what's going on here. But there is a deep, deep power to invoking the name of God in the spiritual realm, taking a vow and then breaking that vow. It is hugely damaging, hugely damaging. And just because we don't see it, because it happens invisibly behind the scenes, I promise you, it is robbing our souls and our spirits. There are vows and oaths that we have taken and we have brought God in some way. Yeah. And then we have broken those vows. And it doesn't have to be a big vow, like a wedding vow. It can be something smaller. And it has done damage to our relationship with God and with other people. It has done damage to our spiritual power. So one of the things I'd like for us to do as a takeaway from this, is consider that, to sit before the Lord and allow the Holy Spirit to say, God, is there anything that I have vowed rashly, first of all, that I should not have? Is there anything anywhere that I have broken my word or my oath? Said, hey, I didn't do that, or I actually did that, or I'm going to do this thing, and then I didn't come through and do that thing. Because those broken promises, is more than, that's more than just broken trust. We are doing violence in the spiritual realm. And that's why he ends this verse by saying, there is judgment. Mm-hmm. You guys are going to be judged for this.
So that's really heavy and really weighty.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're right. But there's still hope in that. If we come before the Lord and we, the Holy Spirit reveals those vows, what is the next step for the people then that are listening to not be left in that hopelessness and that despair, knowing it's weighty? So what would you say to those people?
There's an acknowledgement and confession of, God, I did this. Mm-hmm. Sometimes what we need to do based on that, when God has revealed that to us, is to go back to people.
Okay.
And to say, I promised you something that I did not fulfill, and I am deeply sorry that I did that. I think AA has a great caveat for this, which is we make amends, but we make amends where it won't cause damage to the other person or hurt the other person or open up wounds for them in a way that is unsafe. If someone doesn't want to hear it from us, or we have broken trust and there's no more... no more room there. Okay. Then we need to take that, but that might be a consequence of this kind of behavior. Yeah. And we need to take that to the Lord too, and just say, God, I submit this to you, and I will do whatever you ask me to do. But yes, this is forgiveness. This is part of what, Christ
came for.
Won on the cross for us. So praise God for that. And there is forgiveness, and we can walk free.
That's good.
That's really good. All right. We only have one more week left on this series, I believe. Is that correct?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's true. One more week. Okay. Yeah.
All right. And so finish up chapter 5, 13 through 19, I believe. Yeah. So, all right. Thank you. Yeah. It's great to have you back.
Yeah. Thanks. Good to be back.
And thank you for joining us. Have a great week. Bye-bye.